Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com.
Oh, now I get it. This is why you were saying, because there's so many birthdays and some people.
What did you think?
I don't know. I thought that was a really random thing to say. Someone had baby making on the brain.
I'm JP, and welcome to another edition of Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and we're one of the oldest independent publications in the U.S., distributing free monthly issues about music, arts, action, sports, and subculture. On today's episode, Salt Lake Acting Company and Saturday's Voyeur, Damn These Heels Film Festival, and the Sugar House Farmers Market. Saturday's Voyeur is the annual musical satire production from Salt Lake Acting Company. The ever-changing production has been running for 34 years, and it features skits and parody songs based around Utah from the past few years. The production has become the longest-running of its kind in the Utah theater community, still being co-written by its creator Nancy Borgenreit, as well as Alan Nevins. Slug writer Amanda Nuri interviewed veteran Voyeur actor Alexis Baig and first-timer Kaylin West about the play and their experience.
Tell me what Saturday's Voyeur is about.
Saturday's Voyeur is all about life in Utah, all the fun and freakish things that have been happening over the last couple years, and all the zany people that are making those things happen.
Nice. Can you be a little more specific?
It kind of caps over the the religious and political pop culture. It's kind of like Utah's inside joke at itself.
Okay.
You know, and it kind of... It's a way for us to look at the strange reality that we have in our hands at the end of the year and laugh about it and talk about it openly. I feel like, especially with when it comes to, you know, religious conversations and political conversations, it's so easy to get heated and angry. But when you put it in this comedic form where we're just laughing at it, we're making it lighthearted, you actually get to say a lot more. And I feel like that's kind of the purpose of Saturday's Voyeur, to get the conversation going in a welcome, open environment, in a, you know, not oppressive environment, and just get people talking, get people thinking, and get people calmed down a little bit, I guess.
Yeah. And more specifically, Saturday's Voyeur is about you and me and everyone else living in Utah.
Okay. Tell me about the origins of the show. Like, how did it start? When did it start?
The show started in 1978. It was July 20th, 1978, the day of my third birthday.
Wow.
Yes, that dates me.
Were you in it as a child?
No. I was still a child when I first started doing the show in 1996. But I like to think that I was so eager to come down from the pre-Earth life to see the show that Heavenly Father sent me down the day that the show first opened.
Wow.
July 20th, 1978, at Elliott Hall at the First Unitarian Church, the brainchild of Nancy Borgenreit and Michael Butters.
Tell me about each of your parts in the production. You guys both act in it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I play the character Mohana, who is the daughter of Johnny Lingo and Mahana, the 8-cow bride. Mm-hmm. She is Elder Spencer's personal assistant, and he's a little more forward-thinking and liberal than the rest of them, so it ends up getting her into trouble. She's kind of the innocent, true free thinker in the church office building and doesn't understand why it gets her into so much trouble.
For more of the backstory, you should watch Johnny Lingo, the LDS family.
You should.
Family
it's actually
favorite.
Just worth a watch. I went on YouTube and watched it for the first time.
It features
prior to
her parents,
in.
Johnny Lingo and Mahana, the 8-cow bride. Okay.
It's a good time. Well, 8 cows is what Johnny Lingo paid for her. And normally women were bragging about being a 4-cow wife or a 3-cow wife. And everyone expected her to be a 1-cow wife, and she was an 8-cow wife.
Wow.
And yeah.
It's a touching movie.
Yes, it was. It was very moving. And that story seems to pop up in my life. Actually, someone just came into my work yesterday. This kind of creepy older man, and he told me I was a 10-cow girl. And I was like, oh,
wow.
He did. Did I not tell you that? No,
he
had no idea. Oh. I don't know who this man was, but he was like, you're very beautiful, you know that? You're a 10-cow girl. And I almost shat my pants.
Did you tell him that he needs to come see Saturday's Voyeur?
I don't want him to. He's freaky, and I'm going to be in a swimsuit.
Ticket sales, Kaylin. Ticket sales.
Oh, creepy old man.
So get used to it. Okay. You're in Saturday's voyeur now.
I know. Okay, fine. Next time I see him, I'll invite him.
Bring him a little flyer from the show.
Okay.
So, Alexis, what about you?
I play a man who works in internal repairs at the church office building. Basically,
he's
a security guard.
He's attractive man.
Very attractive, if a little robotic, internal repairs worker, making sure that everybody's behaving.
Kaylin, this is your first time on the show. What are your worries? What are you excited about?
Just the creative process. The fact that it's a show that is built from the ground up every single year, and coming in and working with a bunch of people who have, you know, done it before. They're pros, like Alexis here, makes me feel a little safer because it's a little nerve-wracking. There's a lot of newbies this year, but
half the cast is newbies.
Yeah, it's half and half. So it's pretty interesting, but I've never worked in a process that was so like, okay, we're doing this, and then we're gonna change it and do this, and things change all the time, and you're getting new songs and taking things out and changing things, and you have to be on your toes the entire time, which is really exciting. And I chose before we start this to not look at it and be nervous, so I have not been nervous this whole time. I'm just having fun with it. It's a good experience, it's exciting, it's a whirlwind, and I love it. So,
well, awesome.
Yeah.
And Alexis, this is you've done this several years in a row now, right?
Saturday's Voyeur 2012 marks my 12th summer in the show.
Can you describe how it's different from other shows? I mean, I'm guessing they're all different, but
from other Saturday's Voyeurs or other productions?
From other Saturday's Voyeurs and other productions.
Well, because it is written from scratch, it's just a completely different story. Thematically, it's still about life in Utah.
Okay.
But Alan Evans and Nancy Borgenicht are really looking at what speaks to the audience this particular summer. What are the concerns, joys, horrors that present themselves to us this summer?
Mm-hmm.
So the plot is entirely different. The songs are all new.
So I'm guessing there's going to be some Mitt Romney references in this one.
More than one or two.
Oh, yes.
So what is your history in acting, both of you?
I started acting in high school, and then in 1996, I started working professionally here at the Salt Lake Acting Company with Saturday's Voyeur, and I've done a number of shows around town and trained at Salt Lake Community College and the University of Utah's actor training program.
Nice. What about you?
And I started doing, I actually started off as a dancer when I was younger. Started doing the musicals in junior high, really got into it in high school and decided that's what I wanted to do. I've been training at Weber State University. Almost done, one more year. And then I've worked with, you know, theaters around the valley. This is my first time working with Salt Lake Acting Company, but I've worked with Plan B and Dark Horse and a number of other places, and yeah. So.
And she's amazing.
And Alexis is amazing.
I believe it. I can see this play being considered controversial, and you guys already kind of touched on that. Have you experienced any backlash from the public as a result of
that? Well, it was about 10 years ago, like 1999 or so, more than 10, I was working here in the office at the Salt Lake Acting Company. I overheard this phone call. It was Morgan Ludlow, our house manager, was sitting next to me here, and the phone rang, and this woman said, "Hello. Are you the people that put on that Saturday night's Voyager?" And he said, "Yes, we do Saturday's Voyager." Shame on you! Shame, 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 shame! Click.
Wow.
Oh my god.
I think that is evidence of a job well done.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely want to create some controversy, so.
Yeah, well, you can't please everybody. You're gonna, and especially with the kind of stuff that we're touching on, you're gonna offend somebody.
Right.
Usually when this is my first voyeur, so I've never had an experience like that, but when I tell people that I'm in this show, usually they think I've said Saturday's Warrior, and I'm like, no, not that one.
It's a little different.
It's a little different than that, and like, part of my family, they don't even know I'm in the show. I haven't told them. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
But, you know.
So. And other kinds of backlash we've experienced are people throwing up. So I think that's pretty visceral backlash.
As a result of the content of the...
I think it was whatever as a result it is, of the alcohol.
You know, the content, maybe what they had to drink at the show.
Oh.
But I take it as a good backlash.
What are you most excited about for this year's production? I know you kind of... hinted at things.
I'm excited to meet the voyeur audience. I've never met them before. I know, I mean, I've been amongst them and they are exciting and they are fun, but I am excited to meet them in this way and develop that relationship.
Okay.
I continue to be most excited to work with the newcomers to the show who bring so much freshness and vitality and to see what the third act brings.
Yes, that too.
Saturday's Voyeur will run from June 27th until September 2nd. To purchase tickets and get more info on this play and Slack's upcoming season, visit them online at saltlakeactingcompany.org. Full disclosure, I work at Salt Lake Acting Company. Jesus or Genome is the solo acoustic project of guitarist Mike Kundick. He started the project as an outlet for his experience dealing with his hectic life. Last July, he released a 7-inch titled The Veil Is Lifting. From that 7-inch, here's Unfinished Business.
Letting go taught me to feel again, to make amends, apologize to a friend. Losing hope instead of remembering that we were both desperate for the same thing. All we had were instruments made of sand, fragile hearts lost in the past. Like futilely building an effigy, using this already worn down to the wrist. And we longed for happiness, but forgot where to begin. The outline of your lips, the calloused fingertips, still crystallized as an island in the waters of my mind. But the ocean breathes real deep, it'll knock me off my feet, and the undertow that is my life will eventually swallow me whole. And though you're staying on the land, but before you lose my hand, the spirits that I share with you demand one last chance to expect from you to have the courage to release yourself from everything that makes you you. You are the only single truth, and you'll open up new eyes and see yourself for the first time. Finding out how everything boils down, abolished fear, allowing our hearts to sound. We are not shackled to our beliefs, we are not our problems. But there's still a gap
very few ever pass. Takes a leap, leap of faith, only you can decide to take. There's a line you create between love, love and hate, and you'll live in that cage till that line disintegrates. And we long for happiness, now we know where to begin. The outline of your lips, calloused fingertips, still crystallized as an island in the waters of my mind. But the ocean breeze real deep, it'll knock me off my feet, and the undertow that is my life will eventually swallow me whole. Though you're staying on the land, but before you lose my hand, the spirits that I share with you demand one last chance to expect from you to have the courage to release yourself from everything that makes you you. You are the only single truth. We have unfinished business down the path of least resistance. I'm inclined to wait till we align, 'cause there's something going on here that's more than just a stare. There's a permanence and a clarity that could sweep you off your beach. And we dance among the currents, taking every day as it begins, and every night resurrecting what feels right. But I will let you be if you're still afraid of me. But I'll offer you this guarantee: if you ever settle for less, you'll lose yourself in death. And when you sleep, you'll have dreams of me, but as you wake, those dreams will slip away.
That was Unfinished Business from the Jesus or Genome 7-inch, The Veil is Lifting. Jesus or Genome will play Localized this Friday along with Nathan Spencer and Dylan Rowe and Color Animal. The show takes place at the Urban Lounge, which is at 241 South 500 East. It starts at 10 p.m. and it's just $5. To find out more about Jesus or Genome, check out our article on him in this month's issue of Slug, or visit him online at ReverbNation.com/Jesus or Genome. Damn These Heels is an LGBT film festival held annually in Salt Lake City, featuring shorts and full-length films about LGBT issues and themes, some of which will be debuting at this fest. This year, the festival moves to the Rose Wagner Performing Arts Center, which allows for bigger crowds and extra showtimes. Slug senior staff writer Ben Trendelman chats with the Utah Film Center program manager Levi Elder about the festival and what we'll see this year.
What can you tell me about the history of the festival? When did it get its beginnings, and why was there a need for a festival dedicated to LGBT films?
Well, the Film Center just is celebrating its 10th year this year, and Damn These Heels has been in existence for 9 of those, and it's actually the longest running program of the Film Center. And the purpose of having an LGBT film festival, or really the LGBT movement, to me, is eventually to make it non-existent, right? So I feel like once we can quote-unquote mainstream, you know, the LGBT lifestyle and culture, then it kind of dissolves itself, right? So we hope that by showing and illustrating that LGBT stories are the same as anybody else's stories, that it humanizes the experience, and it will eventually just become a story.
Awesome. Do you feel like you've already seen that reflected in mainstream media as the festival has been moving along?
Maybe not specifically with the festival, but definitely with culture as a whole. And I think you see it more in metropolitan areas for sure, like New York and LA. And I feel like the film festivals, specifically the LGBT film festivals in New York and LA, are not as successful as they once were, because it's becoming less of an issue and needing to be less specific.
How has support for the festival evolved? I mean, would you say that when you guys were initially starting out that people were ready to hit the ground running with it? Is it something that, that has grown progressively over the years? Or where would you say you are now with that?
Well, I think that's a good question, and maybe I should do some of my own research. Uh-huh. This is only my third year with the festival.
Okay.
But each year we've had a pretty significant increase. The first year that I was involved, attendance was up 50%, and then last year attendance was up 30% from there. So I think in just in 2 years time, I think that's pretty significant.
What range of contributions can we expect? Where are they coming from? Are there any local films that we can expect to see?
We have a local short film from Spy Hop, and it's called Even Handed. And it's already been at a number of festivals and won several awards, and now it's just coming home. This will be its first spotlight screening. We've got a couple of foreign films. We've got an Iranian film that's really pretty good. It's a little more gritty than I think we're going to be used to seeing, or what I'm used to seeing. It feels almost dangerous in a way, or like it's kind of illegal. And it really harkens back to, I guess, like what when indie filmmaking was really indie. And I think that's pretty reflective of the entire festival this year. We also have a couple films. Also from Europe, we've got a film called North Sea Texas, which is from Belgium. And it's a pretty significant achievement for cinematic experiences, especially for independent filmmaking.
What is the submission process like? What are the parameters for getting a film screened at the Damnese Hills?
Well, I first of all, I have to like it.
Uh-huh. All right.
And we have a small committee of other community members that look at the film, and if they like it and feel like it's, you know, has something significant, then it gets programmed. And we're a lot smaller than some of the other festivals. Like, we really only have room for, you know, 10 to 15 titles versus one of the coastal film festivals that can have upwards of 100, 150.
Yeah.
So we only have the 11 this year.
And that brings me to my next question, which this is the only LGBT film festival in the state of Utah?
In the Mountain West, as far as I can tell.
All right.
You know, it's kind of hard to prove that fact, but
we did
some significant researches and looked at several maps of where the borders were, uh-huh, and which towns and cities had LGBT film festivals, and we're the only one from west of Denver to California.
All right.
And pretty much north or south.
How does Damnese Hills compare to other major festivals that are going on around the country? Is it on par or getting there, or what do you think?
Specifically with LGBT or just in film festivals
just
in general?
Just with LGBT.
I think it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I think if you look at what the other programs are, we really try to, well, we have to. We have to distill it to what we think are the best films.
Uh-huh.
And I think we're getting there.
Excellent. That's great to hear.
Sometimes it's not always up to us. Sometimes the distributors don't necessarily feel like they should play here or with us. But that, you know, it gets a little bit better every year.
How much friction are you guys met with? I mean, do we see people with signs outside of screening, similar to like you may see at Pride or anything like that? Or do people make much of a fuss about it?
Nobody's ever made a fuss about it that I know of.
All right. That's good to hear.
Which is great.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that, you know. What feedback have you gotten back from the LGBT community? Have people expressed about a particular film and how it has maybe helped them feel comfortable or issues that it's raised for them personally? What does this mean to the people that are coming?
I think there's a bit of preaching to the choir, right? So most people at least the LGBT community that's attending is very supportive.
Uh-huh.
Where we kind of run into some challenges are that some people don't feel representative enough.
Okay.
You know, so sometimes the bisexual community doesn't feel like they're represented enough. The trans community doesn't feel like they're represented enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are we up to, like 5-7 letters now?
Uh-huh.
It's going to be especially hard in the short amount of time that we have to represent everybody equally or fairly. And sometimes there's just not a great film out there.
Yeah, that was. I was wondering how much. I mean, do you get many movies that are coming out about the transgender community? You know,
not really. I mean, they're kind of hard to come by. Uh-huh. And I, you know, my reaction to that is always to put the, you know, the onus back on the community. You know, like, it's not up to me to make a good trans movie. It's up to the trans community to make a good trans movie.
Have you had anyone outside of the LGBT community who's maybe gone to a screening and said, I wasn't open to certain ideas and this really has shaped some things for me or helped to open my eyes or made me turn my back to this community or something like that, you know?
No. Uh-huh. No. Which is good. I mean, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So out of the films that are being screened, are there any standouts for you that you can think of?
It's a pretty broad spectrum. Uh-huh. I think the opening night film, we took our opening night film from South by Southwest, and we had another film from South by Southwest last year. And I think this film, Gaby, I mean, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be really successful in, well, as much as these films tend to be.
Yeah.
Our centerpiece screening, which is a film about James Dean and his bisexuality, I think might raise some eyebrows since it's kind of an unfamiliar subject.
Totally unfamiliar. I'm like, what, James Dean was bisexual?
Yeah, like, and how liberal is the fictionalization?
Yeah.
Or is it, how much is based in truth?
Uh-huh.
I can't say. It's supposed to be an accurate account.
That's really interesting. Yeah, I had never heard anything about that before. My eyes just got open a little bit more. Very cool.
Damn These Heels runs July 13th through the 15th at the Rose Wagner Performing Arts Center, which is at 138 West Broadway in Salt Lake City. For a complete schedule, film previews, to purchase tickets or passes, and other information on the fest, visit them online at utahfilmcenter.org/damntheseheels. It's time once more for our weekly daily calendar rundown. I'm sitting here with Esther Amaronio, editorial assistant. Thanks for joining me, Esther.
Thank you, JP.
As usual, we've got another really, really exciting week in Salt Lake City.
Every week's exciting, right?
In the summertime, more than usual. We get more bands, we get more birthdays for some reason. I think because in the wintertime, people are making babies.
Gross.
What? It's called biology, so get used to it.
I'm not making babies in the winter.
Noted. Everyone at home. So excited to know that. Let's just get to the events. We don't need to talk anymore about that. Okay. Wednesday, July 11th, Liars will be at Urban. Not the Liars, just Liars at Urban.
Yep. And
so that means all my ex-girlfriends are going to be there? Is that what?
Good one.
I'm sorry, did I say that out loud?
Yeah, so they're this indie rock band. Liars was on the cover of our March 2004 Slug issue, and they have an album that was released a little over a month ago that you should definitely check out.
And we've got a birthday on that day.
Happy birthday to Mamie Wallace. She is one of our Slug writers.
She's an EDM writer, electronic dance music.
Recently got back from the Electric Daisy Carnival, and she did a write-up for us on the web. Check that out.
Definitely visit that. And Thursday, July 12th, as you just heard, Damn These Heels LGBT Film Fest is taking place at Rose Wagner through the 15th. 3 days of all the alternative type of films you can't get elsewhere.
Make sure that you look on slugmag.com because we will have some reviews of those prior to and post the film festival. So.
And the day after, one of my favorite days of the month because I get to grill local musicians and we get to all enjoy local music. Slug Localize. But will you tell us the lineup that Friday?
Yeah, so it's, first of all, it's $5 and it's at Urban, and Color Animal, which is Andrew Shaw's new band, is playing. Jesus or Genome, that's Mike Kundick's solo project, and then Nathan Spencer and Dylan Rowe are going to be opening us up. And you can find out more about those bands in our magazine, actually. So the July issue of Slug, make sure you read up on them and come to the show.
Definitely. Dylan used to be the guitarist in Spell Talk, the dude with the curly brown hair, if you're trying to place him before L. So if you've seen him playing around town, he also plays with the Rugs in Ogden. You may want to familiarize yourself with his new project there.
On July 13th and 14th, the Utah Reggae Festival is happening at the Ogden Amphitheater in Ogden, Utah. And it's featuring the Expendables, Tribal Seeds, J Boog, 40 Ounce to Freedom, and a bunch of other reggae bands. You can go to livenightevents.com to get tickets, and it's live night spelled N-I-T-E events.com. And so if you're into reggae and all that good stuff, make sure you check that out up in Ogden.
And Saturday, July 14th, Summer of Death, it's gonna be at Crossroads Skate Park. You probably know a little bit more about the skateboarding event than I do.
Yeah, so Slug has an annual amateur skate series, and this is the first installment of that. And basically, it's just a chance for all of you local rippers to come out and win some awesome prizes in Crossroads. It's a pretty cool skate park. It's indoor, so come hang out in the cool indoor skate park.
It's blisteringly hot lately, so people are going to be really stoked about not having to skate about in the super hot heat. Where's registration? When?
You can register online. I suggest that you do that, especially if you are underage, because that way you don't have to bring your parents along with you, and that's summerofdeath.com. Or you can check us out on Facebook.
Derby extravaganza is at the Derby Depot on that same day. How many more derbies do they need in there?
I don't know why they needed it three times, but I guess they just really wanted it to, you know, hit hard, like Derby does.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I see what you did. And Stretch Armstrong and Swim Herschel Swim, a 90s Utah ska band reunion show is going to be at the Rail on that day as well. A lot of fun stuff to choose between. I say skate in the morning, go check out some Derby or music in the night. And the rest of the weekend... the aforementioned babies that were made in the fall and winter time. Will you give us the rundown of the birthdays?
It's Saturday, July 15th, we'd like to wish a happy birthday to Eleanor Schultz. She is one of our copy editors and also a designer, so, and a local artist who is participating in the Craft Lake City Placot project. So yeah, make sure that you go check out some of her work. And then also on that day,
happy birthday to Karamia Pudidi. She is our marketing coordinator and
is just super awesome and also organizes the Salty Streets flea market. And she is the reason why a lot of our events get promoted and a lot of cool stuff happens at Slug. So happy birthday to Karamia. And then on Monday, July 16th, we have two more birthdays. Happy birthday to Brooklyn Oddens. She's one of our marketing representatives and an all-around good time person. And she's a lot of fun. And happy birthday to Maggie Call, who is one of our designers and also does some work for Craft Lake City. So happy birthday to all of our awesome contributors.
I'm just gonna do a quick little thing here at the end. I wanna tell people something about the daily calendar. May I?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you're gonna have like a confession. Yeah. I know that this kind of looks like a
confessional
booth, but
I just wanted to tell them they can check out the calendar on the website, on our iPhone app, and in the back of the magazine.
Yes, it's true. And
you can let us know about events at Slug Soundways if you want to tweet at us.
Yes, Slug Soundways on Twitter and also on Facebook.
Let's not confuse people.
Yeah, we're also on Facebook, so come like us.
For a good time.
For a good time.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Esther, as usual.
Thank you, JP.
Starvist is a hardcore metal trio comprised of members from Salt Lake and Utah counties. They formed in the fall of 2010 with Chase Clough, Matthew Wiley, and Tyson Clegg. They recently released their debut EP, Taker Mythology, during Crucial Fest on June 20th. From that EP, Taker Mythology, here's Cash Cow from Starvist. That was Starvest with Cash Cow from their new EP, Taker Mythology. To purchase the full EP, check out the band on starvest.bandcamp.com. And for more info on the group and upcoming shows, feel free to visit them at facebook.com/starvest. The Sugar House Farmers Market has been going strong for the last 3 years, and it has a strong focus on local neighborhood farmers growing fresh produce and products. This year, the market has moved to take over the Parley's Creek Pavilion at Sugar House Park, and I'm joined today by Kim Zarkin. Thanks for joining us, Kim.
Happy to be here.
Now, it's your third year at the Sugar House Market, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, right? This is our third season.
And you started out as a volunteer, and then you eventually moved into this leadership role that year.
I did. I was the volunteer of the year the first year, mostly because I showed up every week. And
well, congratulations, by the way.
The thing they did the worst the first year was marketing, and then someone said, wait a minute, isn't Kim that volunteer a communication professor? And so they brought me on to run the marketing.
How has that move been to this new area? You haven't done any events yet, if I'm not mistaken, right? When?
No, we open on July 13th. Right. So it's the Friday after the 4th of July. All the weekend material happens, and so we'll open. We had our first dry run actually on Sunday, where we met with some of the vendors and started laying out the parking lot and how the booths will be set up.
And what are the benefits, people might ask, if they're kind of new to the whole farmers market world? What's the benefit of choosing products from a farmers market?
There are a lot. First of all, the biggest thing is that many of our growers are growing not just within Utah, but within Sugar House. And so there's actually food being grown within a few miles of the park. And so you cannot get any fresher than food that was pulled out of the ground that morning. There are also, most of our vendors are growing with almost no pesticides or natural pesticides. Several of our vendors actually use ladybugs as their pesticides. And again, you can't get more natural than that. And of course, there's a great connection when you talk to the people who grow your food. One of the real kind of highlights for me was the day I was talking to one of our vendors, and I asked, he had great potatoes all season, and I was like, oh, Jack, why don't you have any potatoes today? And he was like, well, my back hurt and I couldn't pull them out of the ground. And I grew up a city girl, and being able to understand that somebody actually bent over to get my food changed the way that I look at food and made me want to know who grew my food, understand who grew my food, and pay attention to where it comes from. It's also cheaper than you'd realize. There's this idea that farmers market food is really expensive. It's not. It's very affordable. We also do take Horizon cards, and so we're really dedicated to bringing quality food to the entire community.
And you mentioned that connection element, and I'd like to touch on something that you're doing this year, the Juniors Farmers Passport, and that offers children a chance to find out more about how local agriculture works, and by giving them an actual passport, they get stamped by going around talking to different vendors. Will you talk a little bit about the reason behind that and then what it's gonna do for the kids?
So we started this last year, and we're continuing it this year because it was so successful. It's the idea that teaching children that the food doesn't come from the store, that it comes from farms and it comes from people. And studies show time and time again, the more kids understand about food, the more likely they are to eat healthy. And so we think educating children from a very young age, and we would have a lot of toddlers, 3 and 4 year olds, going around asking our beekeeper, where does honey come from? And what do you grow that's green? And things like that, so that they could have a conversation. I think that's one of the best things about our market, is that our vendors love to talk to the customers and love to talk to the community.
And how can everyday people start integrating a farmer's market lifestyle, if you will, into their own lives?
I think it's a matter of just going to the market and exploring what's fresh that week. Maybe pick one night that you're just going to go to the market, whether it's our market on Fridays or another one of the markets, and just shop and make dinner based on what you can find. It really is a revelation when you eat something that is so fresh. Another thing that I loved is when we can get fresh mozzarella that was literally pulled that morning and was in the cow about 8 hours before I bought it. That's amazing when you think about it. And it's a great way to explore. Just go, oh, I've never tried that. Or let me see what kale tastes like. And most of our growers will tell you how to cook things. We'll give you recipe ideas. We'll have recipes from local restaurants, with the idea of just cooking what's available that week.
And who are some of these local farmers and vendors that are going to be at the Sugar House Market? If you could pick just a few.
Well, one of our founders is Three Square Produce. It's a local guy, grew up in Sugar House. He helps run his wife's family's farm up in Bountiful, and then he has three backyard gardens. And so it's a lot of the stuff is grown within a stone's throw of where our new location. We have Asian Heirloom Tomatoes, which is a great woman who... She just looked at her backyard one day and said, "We have a lot of land. I don't like grass." And so this year she's going to have 27 varieties of tomatoes, which are amazing and cool, funky shapes, which is a great way to get kids to eat something new, because a red tomato might be icky to a kid, but a purple tomato, that's a little interesting because kids love purple. Mm-hmm. We have some amazing people who are growing, again, within a couple of blocks, specializing in garlic or, tomatoes or peaches or cherries. And really, there's not much you can't get across. I believe we're going to have 9 growers that will be at the market every week, and then another mixture of packaged and prepared food.
And people may be thinking, well, this sounds like other farmers markets in the areas. How do you differentiate yourself?
I think what makes Sugar House truly different is the sense of community. Sugar House is an amazing community. It's a place where people want to talk to each other, want to learn from each other. We're a smaller market than downtown, so we don't have necessarily all of the same things that they have, but it's also a lot less crowded. It's going to be in the park, so we've got the playground this year, and so a lot fewer lines and a lot more time to talk and really get to know the vendors. And the vendors tell us that's the best part about our market, is the talking to the people in the community. We also have a really strong educational mission. We've dedicated ourselves not just to have a farmer's market, but to teach our community about where good, healthy food comes from.
And you've probably seen that to change people's lives over the last few years. How have you seen it impact the community?
I think that it's about supporting the small. I'm all for some of the cheaper goods that you can get in some of the bigger places, but when you see how small business transforms people's lives, one of our first vendors, Cheese Bread Mania, which you can now get in the grocery store, but Deborah is a young single mom. She decided she wanted to change her life and her daughter's life, and she said, well, let me think about, this cheese bread that I grew up eating in Brazil. And she started at farmers markets, and she's built it into a successful business and is able to create a better life for her and her daughter. And that's, to me, that's the essence of what farmers markets are about. It's about the small, it's about supporting people in their attempts to make their lives better.
I've heard of that vendor that you just mentioned. I think I read something about her before, and that bread is delicious, by the
way. Yes, it is.
I've had it at some various Brazilian restaurants around town. And does she still sell at the farmer's market?
She does. She'll be at our market every Friday. And what's great is she's actually made a real effort to source her ingredients from other vendors. So, for example, Butcher's Bunches, which is a pretty well-known jam producer in the Salt Lake area, is joining us at the market this year. And Cheese Bread Mania gets their guava from Butcher's Bunchers. I think it's their guava. And so she's made an effort that she sources as much as she can from the other vendors so that it's supporting the community overall.
Well, that's great. What are some of the future goals of this market over time?
Steady growth is always something we're looking for. I think our first year we had around 30 vendors. This year we have 50 slots, and so we're really building that up. We're also building up our kids area. In addition to the Junior Farmers Passport, we have a Junior Farmers Circle, which will have kids crafts every week. I know the one big one that I'm looking forward to is making a tote bag out of a t-shirt, which just sounds cool, and I'm trying to figure out how it works.
Can I do that?
Yes, you can. Okay. But so we're doing more kids stuff, and so that will continue to grow, hopefully. And we mostly are just looking to keep the market going and make ourselves known within the community, especially as the trolley's coming in and all the exciting changes happening in Sugar House. We really want to be the heart of the community, which is why we're glad we're moving to the park, because the park truly is the heart of Sugar House.
Yeah, there's no better feeling than picking produce while you're standing on grass.
Yes, it's a beautiful space. I walk in the park almost every night, and it really is. It's just a great place to bring your families, to ride bikes. We have a bike valet, and so we're encouraging people to ride bikes. In fact, we'll be doing, everybody who rides their bike to the market will be entered each week for a drawing for a $25 gift card from Dodo, one of our sponsors. And so we're bribing you to ride your bike to the market.
It's not a bad bribe.
It is not.
I'll do it. Well, thanks for joining us, Kim. I really appreciate your time today.
I'm happy to be here.
The Sugar House Farmers Market starts July 13th, and it runs from 4 to 8 p.m., and it runs every Friday until October 19th. For more info, visit them at sugarhousefarmersmarket.com. Thanks for listening to another edition of Sound Waves from the Underground. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. What are your favorite local albums from 2012 so far? What's that one song from a Utah band you can't stop listening to this year? Drop us a line and tell us your favorites for our upcoming local music panel. You can either send an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324 or tweet us at @slugsoundwaves. We may just read, play, or talk about your songs on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan, with associate producers Jeanette D. Moses, Ricky Vigil, Esther Moronio, and Jonathan Paxton. Our executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis, with our main logo and art design by T-Done, and technical design by Kate O'Connor. On next week's show, the Doom and Gloom Fest, Tap It, and Boys of Bonneville. We'll see you then.